Blog Talk Radio.
Bargani, Islam, Salam, Atep, Jinolaki, Ninani, Chinobu, Badele, Elamine, back again for another blog. And today's show, we kind of want to discuss something that's it's really sensitive, but, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, and you know, out here in the world, but predominantly in the United States with the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement and things of that nature, there's, you know, the notion to look, kind of go back and look at where all this started. And so, you know, I want to talk about today is slavery and slavery in Africa and kind of like the misconceptions or some of the things that we've always said. And we might, you know, how we look at things as far as that we didn't have anything to do with slavery and this and that. So we're going to kind of take a look into that tonight and kind of reexamine that, you know. So, but before we get in, I'm going to have my brother come on, so I didn't forget him. I got brother KB. We're going to be on the scene tonight, you know, analyzing and kind of talking through this. So that's, you know, I'm waiting for him to get on. He should be on here in a few more minutes, you know what I'm saying? So before he gets on, though, please check out the YouTube channel. We got New Kemet. That's spelled K-E-M-I-T. New, N-E-W, New Kemet TV on YouTube. I've been putting a lot more videos out, so, you know, you can check them out. You know, and we got a lot of videos on there, so you can definitely look and check that out. Also, you can subscribe. You can find me on Instagram under Chief Noble. And you can find me also on the on Facebook, of course, you know. So those are a couple of the things that we're dealing with. I see my man, he hopped on here right on time. So we can kind of get into the show, you know, tonight. We also going to have, if we get time, we're going to have live calls. So if you, we might pick you to ask a question after the show. So stay tuned. All right, God. Peace, can you hear me?
Yes, peace, God. What's going on?
Oh, man, just sitting here thinking about this topic, man. You know, I don't know. Like, I just thought about this topic, and, you know, it kind of, like I said, you know, a lot of stuff is going on around here right now as far as with the whole police brutality thing. You know, it kind of just got me thinking about just how we got to this point. Like, you know, got me thinking about slavery and everything. And, so, you know, mm-hmm. Was slavery in Africa romanticized and what really happened in Africa abroad? You know, so that's kind of the topic. So what's your thoughts, man? I'm going to let you kind of get in.
Well, we know that when you look at slavery in Africa, has it been romanticized? I don't think it's been romanticized on one end, we look at other instances, perhaps, but when we're dealing with slavery, like the transatlantic slave trade, I think that we actually lack a proper full understanding of what actually happened. Because,
Go ahead. I'm agreeing with you.
You know, when we watch movies, a lot of us get the impression that Europeans just docked the boat and raided our village and threw nets over us and tied us up and took us on the ship. But the story ultimately is more complex than that. And it's actually a very interesting story that we need to bring to light and fully understand ourselves as black, melanated people, you know, whatever terminology. But it's important for us to understand at least partially how we got here. Okay, giving some folks that, at least partially, how we got here.
Right, and I agree with that. When we talk about romanticizing, I that's kind of what I meant when you say like the depiction of, you know, what we normally see out here on the in movies and you know, how the European portray it, how the European portray slavery. And I think that a lot of times we look at it the same way. I mean, we look at roots and stuff. This is like, I mean, like the old roots, like they got the new one, which is kind of doing better. But you know, the thing about just to come over there throwing a net over us, our head, and then just next thing we know, we're here in America. Like, that's the romanticize. A lot of times, scholars I've heard out their mouth say that, you know, Africans that had nothing to do with slavery at all. That, and then they and I'm not saying, but they kind of justify slavery as far as justify like how blacks or Africans were, how they were a part of it. They kind of justify, they had to, forced on them, or they didn't look at slavery the same way we did, and things of that nature. So they kind of justify the, you know, this whole notion of, you know, the Europeans just came over here and just threw nets on us and took us over here.
Right.
You know.
Tied us up and took us over. The damn Europeans, man. They be coming up some stories, don't they?
They definitely do, man. I mean, you know, Hollywood definitely is a tool that they use. You know, but what I wanted to do is to like kind of get into the notion of that. Like when you talk about slavery, like how for me it's like how did the European even get like in there? Like did they infiltrate Africa? You know what I'm saying? Like. Because I don't think they infiltrated Africa, personally, at first. In the, we're talking about like 1600s. I don't think they had infiltrated Africa. You know? What you think?
Yeah. That's definitely right. I guess from what was generally understood of it is that many black folks ultimately were prisoners of war. When we're talking about the time that the Europeans, about like the Portuguese, the English, and the Dutch and all them, they arrived in Africa about, you know, around the 14, 1400 AD, they came on friendly terms, looking to trade and make allies. And that's ultimately how a lot of folks got here. Was there was a lot of wars at the time. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't Europeans docking a boat and just throwing nets over people and taking us hostage. But it was more so you had different kingdoms that were fighting for control over certain areas, and some of them were willing to make alliances with the Europeans, especially given the fact that Europeans came with guns, which wasn't a technology that was available. So you got this tribe fighting this tribe. They're like, man, you know, them Portuguese, they coming with them guns, man. You know, if we could, you know, find something they want for them guns, man, we can go over there and beat that other tribe. And, you know, so for a lot of the African folks, it was a very attractive deal for them.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, like, a lot of it was among themselves. They were warring among themselves. And I'm going to tell you, if that's not the biggest, I think one of the biggest things that we find Africans, like, their kingdoms were so separate, you know, they didn't unify. You know, didn't see a need to unify among each other to resist what was going on. As, I mean, like, they all to reap benefit from it. And had people working, you know what I'm saying? Like, and had people working on their behalf to go do this for them. So they had, you know, an African king condoned taking people for slavery, then, I mean, it's going to create a bigger market in itself. Like, and I feel like a lot of that has to be looked at and dealt with, too. Like, the inner conflict of melanin people in their land, their internal conflicts they had that they did not, I think, like, they were exploited. Like, these things were exploited by Europeans. Do it, because they really couldn't in the land. They had to rely on, you know, Africans who knew the land, knew the people. They had to rely on them to do what it was doing. Period.
Right.
They could. I mean, like, I don't, like, it was difficult. Like, we know, like, Christopher Columbus, all he did was before he sailed over, you know, to America or whatever, he was going up and down the coastline. And that was it. Really much just going up and down the coastline. He really wasn't going into the interior. He was just kind of like, it was like they were setting up their little camps or whatever, like, on the outskirts. You know. And they would bring their trade. They would bring little trinkets and guns and stuff to trade with them from there. You know, like, they didn't have to go into the interior.
Right. I mean, they really,
you know,
could,
they,
though, because they had malaria back then. You know, they were highly susceptible to malaria and to catch certain type of diseases that they weren't literally able to really even go in the interior like that, even if they really wanted to. You feel me?
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, these are the things that made me, like, skeptical. Like, in one sense, it's like the European is making himself look like he was that dominant guy on the block. And then our people kind of go behind them and say, yeah, see, you were the only one that went in there and did it to us. So they almost like, and that's why I'm saying, almost it romanticized slavery in a sense that oh, it was such a tragic thing that these white people did to mm-hmm. people, these Europeans did to people, and not necessarily taking account, not to say that the Europeans did not do what they did. They're not taking anything away from them, but it's just there's more to it, you know, in my opinion, than it was just to say that they were coming in there. You know, I mean, that was, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I feel like there were internal issues going on in Africa as well. You know, with different kingdoms and stuff like that, was that rival? They didn't unify. They didn't, you know, like Greece and them, they unified when they seen the threat. It seemed like Africans and the Native Americans didn't unify in time. You know, it's like they kind of don't unify. And even look, and I'm going to throw this in there, even with the Moors up in North Africa and up in Spain, they weren't unified as kingdoms. You know, so it's like this, so this disformity that is like overlooked because they just kind of focused on the genocide that was done or the carnage of the Europeans.
It's like,
you know,
divide and conquer, right?
Right, divide and conquer. So I mean, they divide and conquer, you know, and you know, it seemed like too that it's so much slavery in Africa, like from different group ethnicities as well. You know, because it's like you got Arabs and all them in it. You know what I mean? So, you know, but I just get off the topic. So, like just when we think about the slave trade, like when we think about the slave trade, like it's so big, you know what I mean? It's so vast.
Right.
Like it wasn't just to America or North America, South America. Like Africa was carved up, like down to South America. I mean, like South Africa. I mean, like you had slaves over there, West Africa, Arab slave trade on one side. You know. But I mean, that's my thought. I mean, what are you thinking about it?
It's funny you mentioned that because on a previous episode we talked about the DNA and going through my DNA matches. A lot of folks, the majority of the folks, got primarily West Africa and Central Africa on the DNA, but it was funny because a lot of folks would get that Southern Africa. They would get like a category for that region, for a region you wouldn't expect, that might be somewhere in like South Africa, Botswana. So, yeah, the slave trade was definitely all over the place. And like we were talking about, Europeans, like I said earlier, they came on friendly terms, you know. Like, it wasn't like they just docked their ships and had, like, a huge army and just went and took over. Like, no, a lot of folks even romanticized the colonization of Africa. And as we've been talking about, that was also only accomplished through creating alliances with Africans. You understand? So it's crucial, you know, to kind of begin to understand some of these situations and these stories. For instance, me and you earlier was talking about Queen Nzinga. Okay, Queen Nzinga. She was from Angola, and she was with the kingdom of Ndongo, and I think it's Mataba, and they were fighting against the Congo kingdom. And essentially, the Portuguese, I believe they had a line with the Congo kingdom, and they were fighting with the Congo against the Ndungo, and Mataba. And a lot of these folks who were caught up in these wars between the Congo and Ndungo and these different Bantu-speaking groups in Angola and the Congo end up getting brought over here to the colonies in America. And it wasn't because the Portuguese, I mean, Portugal is what, an island or something like that? It's millions of people.
We talked about that the other day. It's the port of Gaul, which is Spain. It's at the southern tip of Spain. It's like a little territory at the southern tip of Spain. Anyway, you a fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I was back to you.
Yeah, so a lot of us got brought over here, you know, caught up in that situation. That was even reflected in the DNA results. It didn't specifically say, you know, all you was from the Mataba or the and don't go kingdom. But
I go jump take on that one. So you say, well, go ahead. You say whatever.
I said, I'm going to let you take that for 1 second.
Okay. But what I was thinking, like,
okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, what I was thinking on it was, like, you was talking about how, like, the Portuguese, they sided with a group that was going against Nzinga. So it was going against another tribe. Like, and I, like, they were doing a lot of those tactics, like, siding one to take them down, and then they could, once they subdue them, then they could find somebody else to side with against them or against the people they probably just, like, helped out.
Huh.
And, you know, I mean, like, I felt like they was opportunists. And much like today, where you got the arms race, where you got selling guns, you selling guns to your, like, to both of them. Like, you know, like, you'll have a person that's selling arms to both sides. And I feel like that is not a new tactic. I mean, like, that was something that was much used back then as well. You know, like, they would use these tactics. So I'm not saying, like, you know, Africans was just ready to sell their people out or whatever. But it seemed like there were Africans that were very opportunist themselves. A lot of Africans didn't look at unity or didn't look at their tribe or their kingdom or anything like that. They kind of started looking, they got greedy.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be addressed.
I mean, it's even still going on now when you still look at a lot of stuff that's going on in Africa. Some of them people still been fighting a very long time. And it's like you said, to a large extent, they have romanticized it. Like even European colonization, we know for a fact that many times they ruled indirectly, meaning that essentially they were like protectorates of the state. They would have an African or group of Africans run the state, but they would do it under the flag of Britain. But eventually they even got tired of that and got rid of them. That's why, you know, and that's also very important too, because when we talk about African independence, it's going on the same time that the civil rights was going on. It's going on the same time the civil rights was going on. You got Africans there who were you know, freedom fighters and activists for the people who were, you know, getting murdered left and right, you know, there, like we did in America. We got, you know, like Patrice Lumumba. He was from the Congo. I mean, I don't know if he was, you know, what he probably a Bantu, more than likely one of them. But you know, we got Malcolm X over here. Then we got Steve Biko, I think, you know, in South Africa. So it's
very
complicated, interesting situation.
And yeah, even when you look at the colonialization of Africa, it seems like you have this period, because, like, okay, think about slavery ended, like, in America in the 1860s, but, like, they had started banning going and getting them from Africa, like, in the early 1800s. So, you know, like, so let's say, I'm thinking, like, it's because they have this period where, okay, they're not really taking a lot of African slaves like they were. But, and so it was kind of like they were in limbo. The Africans was kind of fighting a little bit. But, and then all of a sudden, it was this colonialization period. Like, it seemed like 40, 50 years after they stopped getting slaves. Like, and then from there, it seemed like the colonization period, it lasted less than 100 years. It kind of lasted around the same time, so like Jim Crow in America. I mean, Jim Crow was, that's something that happened in the late 1800s. So it's like, it's interesting that you get Jim Crow in the South and at the same time, European domination began full swing, but we don't really, when we look at it, Europeans were in colonization for like less than 100 years in Africa. Well, it seemed like they kind of, in the timeline, they make it look like Europeans have dominated Africa since the 1400s.
And then you also got to really look at this too, though. Like, where do they even really even hold any substantial populations for real? Probably, okay, in South Africa, you know, you might be able to go to the cities, you know, and find, you know, the old colonization people, or, you know, you might be able to go to a place like Algeria. They still might be kind of there a little bit, but they ain't popping like, you know, like here in America, we talk about colonization. You know, you can't find no Native Americans like that, but you go over Africa, ain't no shortage of Africans around there.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I feel like the Europeans didn't, they colonialized, but they couldn't take it in the same way that they took it over in America. They could not do that. There was a different strength about the Africans there. I have a caller, though. Got a caller on the line with the 4644 last four digits. I don't know if they want to get on and speak or anything, but I'm going to see if they wanted to get on and had any questions or thoughts.
All right.
Yeah, I'll listen to you talk about that. I was listening to you talk about that conversation. See, blacks in America have now been told an entire story. You told the story from whence they landed here in this part of the world. There wasn't no Europe at that time. Those were Western Asians, Eastern Asians. The Indians were Eastern Asians. Europe wasn't a continent. It was part of Western Asia. And Europeans, you can say these Western Asians, never went to Africa looking for people. They were looking for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And how they got caught up in that is that you had countries like present-day Nigeria and Ghana, Senegal, and others. They was trading in commodities. And when they seen Portuguese pull up in these big-ass boats, then they hired them for transportation of those commodities because they had dugout canoes. And then the trading began. Also, you had African tribes that got rid of their riffraff, people that was causing a bunch of problems, wars and all kind of stuff. And if you couldn't pay restitution, you was either killed or they pelted you off when the opportunity came. My wife is from the Volta region in Ghana. She's Akamu, and that is in their history. So it's a lot of things that people don't know. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you done something wrong to another tribe, you were required to pay restitution. The sins of the father follow the son. And if you really want to be technical, the descendants of those Africans that didn't pay restitution, the descendants still owe those tribes over there. Kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Right. That's heavy right there.
I mean, think about it. And here's another thing, too. Boats that sail on the ocean could not go up river. It couldn't go up river.
Right.
The only thing to go up river was rafts and big-ass dugout canoes. So the people that went into the interior markets, they was taken up there by the native people. Another thing, agents, when they got to the point where they started trading in humans over here, so you had to have somebody over here who wanted that type of labor, and they set up warehouses on the coastlines in your Carolinas and your New Orleans, per se, okay? They would send agents over to the West Coast, and they would set up a receiving depot where people would come in, and they would sell goods, and they also would sell other folks. And then they would stockpile them until the boats came. Then they would load them on the boats, and they would bring them over here to be received by the agents. The people over there that were buying worked for the people over here. They were just like, I mean, you do the same. They have the same arrangements today, too. They paid the people on the ship to ship the bodies, the slaves. Or should I say the Africans. And, of course, they got insurance for the cargo and all this stuff. All this stuff went down like that. And slavery was going on thousands of years before Europeans got, before whites got involved in it. Matter of fact, Ghanaian had Portuguese slaves over there in St. George's Castle for a period of time. And yes, there was chattel slavery. It was chattel slavery in Africa. You was born like it. So now this is what we're talking about. And I'm sure y'all can agree to this. We're talking about human behavior. You want to look at some really natural born killers? Study them Aztecs. Columbus didn't have nothing. When Columbus came here, Aztecs was killing big time. You know that big pyramid shaped structure down in Mexico? I can't think of the name of it. It starts with T. It's got steps going up to both sides. They would put people up there and rip out their heart and roll their butts off the side of there. And some accounts by them say they done about 84,000 in 8 days or 4 days or 8 days. And they was killing up the Taino and the other native tribes around them. So that's just what human beings do. Hey, guess what? Ants do it too, don't they? Don't ants have fights?
I mean, you know, it is a human thing.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll tell you, look, this one comes home. What you think the COVID virus is trying to do to you? It's a war going on in your body. Right? COVID virus is trying to take the hell over. And the damn things are smart because they will disguise themselves. When they say they mutate, they disguising themselves. That's all they're doing.
Right.
So that's life. Have you ever had four on your tip of your finger, around that first knuckle, where an infection starts? That thing will swell up. It'll get warm. and then the white stuff card coming out of there. And it'll try to come up your finger, but your immune system, your soldiers, they will fight and contain that bacteria right there in the tip of your finger. It won't let it come up into your body. And the reason why it comes is hot is because it's a damn war going there. They're killing each other. And then they live in, and then when you bust it, it's, you know why it stinks? Because any living creature is going to eat, and it's going to defecate. That's why it stinks. Well, think about it. shoots, man. At least you guys don't want to get into an argument and make you think, don't it?
Yeah, it definitely makes you think, man. I mean, like, you know, when we look at the slavery, though, you know, we're talking about chattel slavery. Do you feel like there was a lot of chattel slavery on the same level as what the Europeans were doing?
Yeah, it was. You were born into slavery. See, they say that Africans was nice and cool. No, people are people. They kill you quicker than they did anybody else, even today. They had sacrifice. And the Dahomey king, when he died, he said a thousand people was killed to go with him. Then they say, you have to get books that's written by Africans themselves. Indigenous slavery in Ghana, slaves and slave ships, which is journals that talk about those things. They had cannibalism going on. They still got cannibalism going on. You want some human meat? There's places over there in Nigeria up north where you can get some.
Oh, wow.
So what was your name, brother, again?
My name is Bianchi. And okay. I have no reason to lie to y'all. I'm just telling you what I know. Ain't nothing. I mean, it's just human beings. That's all it is. They're human beings. They do stuff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, too. Let me tell you something about ancient Egypt. See, blacks today say we were ancient. We weren't no ancient Egyptians. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Well, we might have been ancient Egyptians, but we weren't the Kushites. The Kushites was in the south, right? They was in Upper Egypt. That's where it all began. The Kushites was ethnocentric. You couldn't marry into that group. And their god, Amun, hated mixed marriages. That's why come he had an immaculate conception with Hatshepsut. He impregnated her mother because he wanted a pure solo child. The Egyptians was mixed. They was mixed with some everything. There was no Europeans. You had Western Asians. And when they said they didn't want mixed, they was talking about Kushites and what we call today, guess what, blacks. Wasn't no Europeans then in them areas. Think about it. You know where that goes on today? It goes on in West Africa today. You and I could not become a paramount chief. You ever heard of Osei Tutu, the Ashanti king in Ghana? He's the present Ashanti king in Ghana.
Yeah.
That is ethnocentricity right there. You, an outsider, cannot become an Ashanti king, Ashanti leader. You remember Jerry Rawlings, the president of Ghana? He's a flight lieutenant, and he came in and he killed a bunch of them old leaders. Jerry Rawlings' mother was Ghanaian. His father was Scottish. He could not become a paramount chief, but he could. He was elected the president of the country. Why couldn't he become a paramount chief? Because he's mixed. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's heavy right there.
I hear you, brother. I mean, it go along with what we're talking about. I mean, the fact that, you know, there was some kind of romanticizing that we've done, especially as, you know, people that are Afrocentric tend to paint a picture of, you know, this harmony and how things were peaceful until, you know, so-called European came in there. And so, I mean, this is an example of really what
good for them, because I mean, we don't look at us. They're not looking at themselves as human beings. They're not looking at themselves as this, you know, better
you
than.
You know something else too. On that other, on the bring it home. I told my daughter don't bring home no Billy Bob. I told my latest grandson don't be messing with no Miss Daisy. So that idea still goes on today. Let me ask you, so you ever seen a black man walking down the matrimony line with a Rothschild on his arm or a Rockefeller on his arm or a Vanderbilt? You ain't going to marry in them families. They ain't going to allow this shit. Some people, my wife, my daughter couldn't marry who she wanted to. I done background checks on. I said, you ain't marrying this person. You follow what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Why would you give your daughter to this anybody? Because if it don't work, she's going to come back to you dragging kids and trash bags full of clothes. Right?
Right.
So it goes on today. We just don't pay no attention to it. Who in the heck going to let their daughter? You don't raise the daughter. I married. My wife is Ghanaian. I couldn't just go marry her. I had to go through a whole bunch of stuff to marry her. My American wife, who was my 10-year-old neighborhood sweetheart, she passed away in 2008. I had known her in the neighborhood when we was kids coming up. And I remarried about 4 years later to a Ghanaian. I just couldn't go marry her. I had to go through a whole bunch of stuff. Plus, they checked me out. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they had them kind of connections over here to check a person out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, I think we got a few.
You know, I mean, that is something that we got way too far.
Yeah, I know y'all ain't got but my time. But I try to call in next time a little bit early, but I just coming across your topic. And I said, let me give him a call and hop on him a little bit.
Well, brother, we appreciate, you know, the conversation.
I just wanted to contribute, you know, let you see another perspective that there is out there. And, you know, that's not readily available because they don't teach that. Even black authors don't write that because they just doing what somebody told them or they read. But these things do exist. There's legitimacy to it. And now you know. Anyway, thank you very much, sir.
All right,
all right, very much.
Peace and love.
That was,
yeah, man.
Hey, man, pretty interesting calling in. You know, appreciate the energy. And
he was dropping some
stuff. Pretty much at the time.
He was dropping some stuff.
Yeah, he was dropping
some
heat, bro. So you know.
Door.
Appreciate, you know, it definitely gets the conversation going. So, you know, so I hope y'all enjoyed that, man. Y'all check us out on the next blog, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Two-time Nana. Peace and love.
Peace.